Exodus 25:23. Thou shalt make a table of shittim wood or acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border of a hand width round about, and thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. Thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the ring be for the places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold, and the table may be borne with them. That thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and the spoons thereof, and the covers thereof, and the bowls thereof, to cover withal, of pure gold shalt thou make them. And thou shalt set up on the table of showbread before me always. And so let's again begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this time. And it's just a privilege, Father, to be able to proclaim your precious word. And so just guide and lead us through your word today. And I know each time, Father, that we continue to look at the tabernacle, it is so important that we understand as we move forward in the book of Hebrews to understand each and every step. And to the point of, Father, in Sunday school, we talked about the veil and how it was torn from top to bottom. Father, we need to understand this. We need to realize what it means to our life. And so guide and lead us now through this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have enjoyed looking at the different pieces of furniture, and as we take a look at the veil that we talked about in Sunday school, but now we're talking about this little piece of furniture right here. It's another look at it is down here. And so you can, as you heard, now a cubit is about the length, it's about 18 inches, a length from the elbow to the end of your fingers. And so you can see that this table isn't very big as we read these verses of Scripture here. We find that 2 cubits shall the length of it be, a cubit the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And so it's not very large, 3 foot long, 1.5 feet wide, and 2.25 feet high. And so it's a very small table. And there are 12 loaves of bread that are placed upon this table for the purpose of the priests enjoying fellowship over this this bread. But before you can get there, and this morning in Sunday school, why we're right at the cross, and don't miss this brazen altar, because brass always stands for judgment, and you cannot come in to the tabernacle courtyard. You can't enter into any part of this until you have been to the brazen altar. You cannot have any joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, none of the of his power, of his presence, until you accept that you're a sinner and you're lost and you need the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an event in your life that you'll never forget. It's not something that you just because you've always come to church that I've always believed in the cross, I've always believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a day that the Holy Spirit will convict your heart and show you that you're a sinner, show that you need salvation. And that's the day that you have to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the day. And so it all begins right here at this brazen altar, is the picture that we have as they bring their sacrifice. That lamb that was brought, that dove that was brought, God allowed it that anything, he specified what you could bring. But it was always something that everyone could bring. In other words, you weren't limited because you couldn't afford a lamb, or you couldn't afford a goat, or you couldn't afford a bullock. You could bring a dove, and a dove was something that was available to everyone. And so, but the point is that you were going to bring that sacrifice, bring that offering. That offering was going to be put to death. That offering was innocent. They had nothing to do with that individual's sin. And yet, they still had to pay the price. And so that's the important thing that we need to see, is that our Lord Jesus was innocent. Our Lord Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood. He was never was a sinner, never committed one single sin. Innocent. And that's the same thing with every animal that was brought to this brazen altar. They were innocent of the penalty. And yet they were still offered. They still died. Their blood was still shed. And they were brought and sacrificed at this altar. And so that's the reason it's such a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus. So once we've come by faith to the Lord Jesus, once we've trusted in him, then we come to this brazen laver, and we know that it's two different levels. We've been through that. But the point is that before we can come into the tabernacle itself and enjoy this fellowship upon the table of showbread that we're looking at, before we get there, we must wash. We must cleanse ourselves, because number one, there's all dirt everywhere, and so your feet get dirty, your hands get dirty because they were offering up the sacrifices. And before they could go in to the holy place, they had to wash every single time. So they would do that multiple times through the day as they would bring the offering for the different individual. Then they would come and wash, and then they could come through this veil that was here. Now, if you remember a couple of things with the veil, we have the golden walls are 15 foot tall that are all the way around. Now, they are set in sockets, tenons, the scripture calls them, and they would put this 100 pound foundation base in the ground, and then this gold wall would sit in its place, and it was tied together with rods all the way around, and then we have the four layers that's over the top. And so but the whole tabernacle itself was set on a silver foundation, which silver in the scripture stands for the precious blood of Christ, stands for atonement. And so without the precious blood, and where did this come from? It came from every individual that wanted to participate in the tabernacle. Everybody brought a half a shekel of silver. That half a shekel is 35 cents worth. Once again, no one is exempt. No one is exempt from being able to come. And so the laver, we're not shown how big that laver is. It does not give the dimensions. There's two pieces of furniture in the tabernacle that do not have the dimensions to. Number one is the laver, and number two is the lampstand. And there's a reason for both of those. Because there is not one single, once you've come to the cross of Calvary, there's nothing the Lord Jesus can't take care of in changing our life and making us more like the Lord Jesus. And so we come to that. And then we come, and I said that there was a silver sockets and this golden wall set, and it was all bound by these rods. But there is some brass involved in the tabernacle, and that is the posts that are in front of the veil. Because, you see, we're still in the world. And so as you walk into this place of fellowship, this place that's protected by the blood of Christ, we still have to face our sin. We've cleansed it here. We're coming in for fellowship here. As we walk through that veil, and one more thing before we go back to the table. This veil shuts out all the outside light. There is no inside light in the tabernacle. The only thing that lights this room, and it's 15 by 30 by 15 foot high. Can you imagine if these walls here, that's not too far off of 15 foot. I think it's 14 something. And so it's very close to this height here. Can you imagine that wall being pure gold, polished gold? Can you imagine? Wouldn't that be beautiful? And just kind of look up and think about the embroidered ceiling. It's a white linen. You think of a beautiful white, perfectly white sheet, you know, white linen. And then you embroidered all the angels, the cherubims in it with all the beautiful colors. And to be able to be inside the tabernacle and having no outside light, the only light is from the lampstand. And so we're going to kind of deal with that a little bit later, but that the light is present only from the lampstand. Do not miss that. Today, people come to the cross. Many folks are saved. They come to the laver, and maybe they don't even get beyond that. Because when they begin to see what God wants to change, they don't like it. And so they kind of get caught between two places, here and here. And when we get the liberal preachers, and they don't preach against sin and the need to surrender to the Lord Jesus, when they don't speak of that, then people get comfortable and they get locked between here. Well, what happens then? If you don't go to this laver, you don't go in here. And if you don't go in here, then you don't get fed. And what happens when the little ones don't eat and don't get fed? It's not long that they're undernourished, and not long that they get sick, and their color isn't good, and they're not growing. And we see so many children that are undernourished, and that's one of them that's not undernourished. And so she's watching, and as you see that children need to be fed, children need to be nourished, children need to be taken care of. Well, we're the same way. As we're a baby in Christ, we come to hear, go ahead and face this scrubbing, face this cleansing, and then come in here for the feeding. As long as you stay out here, you're not going to get the truth. You're not going to get the Word of God. You're not going to get the right feeding because you do not have the right light. You've got the light of the world when you're out here. You may be reading your Bible, but until you come in here and have the light of the lampstand, which stands for the Lord Jesus, until then, you're not getting the truth. You wonder why there's so many different versions of the Bible. You wonder why there's so many people question this and question that. Why is it a problem with the baptism? Why is it a problem with this? Why is it a problem with that? And the reason there's no unity It's because we are not in here feeding upon that word, being taught properly. And that's where it comes. And so let's get back now to this table and take a little better look at it. But it's so important that we kind of back up and take a look at the steps that is involved in coming to the Lord Jesus and growing in the Lord Jesus. So we know some things of that we've just read here in Exodus, that it's 3 foot long. What's 3 foot? Yardstick. You know, you think about that. That's not very big. And 1.5 feet wide. And so, we're looking at 18 inches. So that's one cubit. And then we have it 2.25 feet high. That's not very... Not like that. So it's a... And we don't... I'm not prejudiced, but, most Jews are short. And so you stop and think that they kind of... it's the right size for them. And there are 12 loaves, as the scripture tells us, that are placed on there. And there is a rail that is placed around the edge to secure and keep the bread in place. There are 12 loaves. The 12 loaves stand for 12 tribes. Although the only tribe that enters in is the priestly line, which is the Levites. They're the only ones that can ever go in to the tabernacle, to the courtyard, to the laver, and on into the holy place. Only the tribe of Levi. There are no other priests that are allowed there to enter into such a place. Now, we read of the poles and the rings. Can you imagine making these poles of acacia wood, and everything is overlaid with gold, and they slide these poles in because the tabernacle moves from place to place. The little box in the back there, all the way to the other side, is where God dwells. And can you imagine a Shekinah glory? It's cloud by day, but fire by night. Can you imagine seeing a strike of fire? You see a lightning bolt that comes down and hits the ground, but it's there, and just in a split second it's gone. But can you imagine having a pillar of fire that reaches as far as you can see into the sky? Can you imagine that comes right down and is present up on this location of the Holy of Holies, because that shows the presence of God. At daytime, it's a pillar of smoke, and it's the same way. Today, when you have a fire, the wind will move the smoke from place to place. But here, this pillar of smoke went straight up. The pillar of fire went straight up at night. And the only time that it was not present is when it would pick up, go before the camp, sit down, and then wait, and they would come and disassemble everything. Can you imagine the 100-pound pillars of silver that were the foundation of this thing? Can you imagine what that board weighed? It was pure gold inside and covered with pure gold. But it was acacia wood overlaid with gold, 15 foot tall. Can you imagine as they disassembled this? And they had to carry the Ark of the Covenant. They had to carry the altar, the brazen laver, all these things. They made golden poles with or brass poles, whichever the case might have been, to lift this up and to carry it. But only when this Shekinah glory cloud would lift up and go before the camp. Once they got everything disassembled, then it would lead them into the wilderness of wherever they were to go. And so that's what the poles and the rings are for there. And so, you know, we must realize that we're abiding in the wilderness, and we need to seek the will and the direction of our God. And so, as we spoke in Sunday school, you know, out of Egypt they were led, but they did not leave Egypt till after the blood was applied. And so, yes, we have the picture of the brazen altar where the offering and the sacrifice was offered there, and to apply the blood. And then one day on the Day of Atonement, that the blood from the goat was taken all the way in and presented to God the Father. But on the day of Passover, the very first Passover, until the blood was applied, until that death angel had passed over, were they allowed to leave Egypt. That was the first day. They left Egypt just following that death angel coming through. And here goes anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5 million people leaving Egypt. And so we come to the Red Sea. And then when they cross the Red Sea, that's another picture of us being saved by the blood, but passing through the Red Sea on dry ground gives us the picture that we are leaving the world. What does Egypt stand for? Egypt always stands in the scripture for the world. So when God led them out by the Shekinah glory cloud down to a strange direction, they could have went, if you'll look to see where Israel was encamped in Egypt, in Goshen, you're going to find that Goshen is up here in Egypt. And yet, where did they cross the Red Sea? They come all the way down. Can you imagine? You wonder why the people were murmuring a lot of times? Because God's way is not our way. And for them to come straight across, not worry about the Red Sea, they could have went right into Kadesh Barnea, went right up into the promised land had been done. Instead of that, God had plans for them to come down to Mount Sinai. And so he brings them out of Egypt, down, strange direction. Comes to the place where here's this big body of water. How are we going to cross this? God has Moses lift up the rod and separates the water. They cross on dry land, and they come to Mount Sinai. Totally out of kilter, totally not the way that you would take a trip. It's not where you, if you were going to go from Egypt, from Goshen to the promised land, this is not the direction you would go in. But God had a plan. And so you see, he not only bought them with the blood of the innocent sacrifice, but then also he delivered them out of the world. And that's exactly what happens to us. Now, right now, we're not a part of the world. And as we talked about, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. And we need to kind of remember that, because we really get involved with this world and get involved with the things of the world. And we need to understand that our home is with our Savior in heaven, and it's going to be a wonderful day to be there. Well, how are we going to enjoy this time when we're still down here in this world? Not a part of it, but we're still in the world. Well, it comes by the washing, and then by the feeding. Because there are 12 loaves of bread And the table in the tabernacle, as everything else, points to the Lord Jesus Christ. It points to the Word of God. And so here we have 12 loaves, adequate food, and we need the feeding. Now we understand how to go to the grocery store and buy food. We know how to nourish ourselves, to feed ourselves. But what we forget is the great need to be spiritually fed. We need to be spiritually fed. We need to grow and be fed by the Word of God. And the only way we can do that is through our Lord Jesus Christ, the precious Holy Spirit. This lampstand that we're going to talk about next week has the bowls and has the oil. The oil always stands for the Holy Spirit. The only light that they have in the holy place is the light from this lampstand. It's the only light there is. So when they walk in there, if someone wasn't taking care of that lampstand, it would be totally dark. There is no outside light. There is no windows. There's no chairs. The only table there is this small little table with 12 loaves of bread upon it. These priests need feeding. We need feeding. That's the reason we come to church. That's the reason we come and take our time to feed upon the Word of God. That's the reason we kind of backed up this morning and are looking at the crucifixion. It's too important to move on and not take a look at the crucifixion and when Jesus said it's finished and what that really means. Because again, it is finished is the greatest words that can what was ever or ever will be spoken. Now, what does it mean to you? Do you agree and know that that means Jesus took all of your sin away and all you need to do is say yes to Him? Well, this building, this tabernacle, the brazen altar, the brazen laver, right into the holy place. Now we have finally gotten our way. You've been saved by the blood of Jesus because you've accepted this offering, the sacrifice that Jesus offered you. You've trusted in that. You've agreed that we need to make some changes in our life. So we have this washing, this cleansing. Now we go into the holy place and the feeding begins. Now, up until now, it's been salvation. Why do we always say that you do not try to teach someone some doctrine in the Word of God until they're born again? It's because they cannot understand it. They are not in the holy place where the lampstand is at, where the light is on, where the bread is at. They're not there. And if they're not there, it's not going to make any sense to you. It's not going to make any sense to them. We have to start at the beginning. We have to start at the brazen altar. We've got to start there. So when you're talking to anybody that's not saved, not born again, tell them that Jesus died for them. And let the Word of God convict their heart and bring them to salvation. It's got to start there. Then the next step is that cleansing. You know, I've used this example many times. I had a neighbor that was an alcoholic, and they always called him Step and a Half because he was drunk all the time, and every step he'd take, he'd take a big step. It was a step and a half each time. And I would go down and be working for the farmer that he worked for, and I said, you know, you need the Lord Jesus. And he would immediately tell me. Never knew whether it was right, because I never listened to Jimmy Swagger. But he always said, Jimmy Swagger says, I've got to stop drinking, then I can be saved. That was always his argument. Always his argument. Well, years later, he quit. He quit drinking. I was down there, and I said, I hear that you have quit drinking. He said, yes, I have. And I said, that is wonderful. I said, now you need to trust in the Lord Jesus, because that was gone. That burden, that question was gone. And he just laughed at me and walked away. You see, it was just an excuse. The Holy Spirit has got to convict your heart. You don't go to the laver first. You need the cleansing, all of us do. But that comes after the cross. Let the Lord Jesus do the cleansing through his word. Don't try to do it yourself, because it's of no value. Trust in the Lord Jesus and begin there. Then you can come in and feed upon the word. And for the first time, after the altar, after the brazen laver, now you're into this beautiful room. Golden walls. And can you imagine, let's just look at it here. Those tiles are 2 foot. So 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16. So right here, from here over, because there's about a half a block over there, from this line right here, would be the size of the inside of the tabernacle, from here to the wall. 15 foot tall, so just a little bit taller than this. Golden walls, and you're inside there, and you've got 3 pieces of furniture. We got no pictures, we got no carpet, we got no fan, no chairs. All we got is a table, little table. We got an incense altar, a little tiny incense altar, and then we've got a lampstand that we don't have the size to. But that lampstand is giving you all the light that you need to learn the Word of God, because you're going to feed upon this bread, and God calls it the bread of life. And so we come into the tabernacle, into the holy place. Now, for the first time, everything makes sense. You tell folks that the blood of our Savior is in the presence of God, and a lost person said, I don't believe that. A lost person, if you tell them, you know, I'm born again, I'm saved, and I know I'm going to heaven because Jesus has sealed me. And they says, well, that's fine, you can believe that, but no one knows for sure they're saved. That is the talk of the world. That's what the world, what makes it, because you see, they're not in the holy place feeding upon the bread. If they've come to the cross, they're still somewhere between there and the laver, but they're not in there where they have the light of the Lord Jesus. So please don't stop at the laver. Enjoy the cleansing, and then come in and enjoy being fed by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need. That's what we need. And so you can see why that this is all a picture of the Lord Jesus. He's our Savior. He's our cross. He's our cleanser. He's our one that feeds us, nourishes us. He's the only one that can get us to God the Father. If you'll notice, a lost person will always speak of God. Very seldom will they speak of Jesus, because they don't know him. God has done this. I pray to God all the time, they'll say. But very seldom will they say, I pray to Jesus. And Jesus is the only one. He's our intercessor. He's the one that can pray to the Father and give us that fellowship. So the table of showbread points to the Lord Jesus. The table and the bread upon the table represents the Lord Jesus. And we're going to close, but you can make a note to look to John chapter 6, verse 35, and then the same chapter, chapter 6, verse 48 and 51, are verses of Scripture that confirm that He is the bread of life, and we need to feed upon Him. John 6, 35, and 6, 48 and 51. 12 loaves, 2 roes. Just one more point. They're flavored with frankincense. The bread is flavored by frankincense. The gold stands for deity, but it also stands for His birth. Because what did they bring? What did they bring when Jesus was born? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold was a picture that the king has come. He's born. Myrrh stands for His death. Frankincense speaks of His life. Speaks of His life. What was in the bread? Life. How do you grow? By feeding upon the bread of life, the Lord Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank You that we can come today and enjoy this time. I just ask, Father, that You'll give us the wisdom and direction. And we spend so much time going back and forth through this tabernacle. And I hope, Father, that it does nothing other than to excite us. And we're just looking forward, Father, to these steps. And it helps each one of us to know, where are we? I'm at that laver. I need that cleansing because I need to be fed. But I can't be fed till after I'm there. Or I'm still out here. I've never accepted, Father, Your Son, the Lord Jesus, that died on the cross. I've never realized that I was a sinner and didn't realize I'd need to trust in Him. So I'm still outside. Our Father, we're in for the time of fellowship. We're feeding upon the bread, and we've had the light of the Lord Jesus so we can see and enjoy that feeding, and we're learning and growing, Father. Thank You. Just speak to our hearts now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to